Wow, amen. Talking of praises and prayers and whatever, I am so humbled to gather together with you guys and praise and worship Jesus. Look at the sun coming through the windows. Okay, am I talking to anybody this morning? Are y'all here? Look at that sun. Is that beautiful or what? I mean, the cross up there, the sun coming through, 50 degrees in Ely, Minnesota in February. Wow, the poor dogs. I feel terrible for these dogs. And so, by the way, I'm going to try and preach fast and go out there and catch. I want to see a sled dog and a team go by the hot road or whatever. That's cool. That's really neat. It's cool to live in such a place that those sorts of things even happen. So, people continually ask me all the time, how are you doing? How's it going? Well, I just want to let you know, I mean, I love Ely. I love Ely, Minnesota. This place is so cool. It's cold at times, and it's warm like yesterday. But honestly, it's really neat, to be here. And it's so good to have Rob here leading worship this morning. I love your energy. This is cool. So it's just neat. I never get tired of gathering together with a body of believers to praise and worship a risen Savior. I get excited about that. Anti-boring. No room for boring. Come on, man, you guys are like really down this morning. After Rob leading worship like that and whatever, I don't know. I'm going to keep preaching. Hopefully you'll join along with me here pretty soon. But anyway, point is, I love Ely. You guys are tough. Like, the folks that live here are tough. And on that note, I got to go cross-country skiing with Dave Olson on Friday. And speaking of tough, Lord have mercy. I am glad that I was able to survive skiing with Iron Man Dave Olson Friday. He wanted to go out and do like 10K. I said, I'm a fat preacher that sits at a desk all week long. Like, let's start out with 1K before we do 10K. Anyway, the folks that live here are active and strong. You guys are tough, and I'm very excited to see how talented so many of you are. As I get to know you, you guys are very gifted at your fields of work, whatever it is that you're doing. It's really cool. And what a close community Ely is in general. I mean, outside our church family, what a close community. How warm are the people that live here? Everybody that we know, they're like interested in coming here at least to visit and possibly even to move. Even my parents, my mom does not like the cold, and she loves it here because she loves you guys, especially the close-knit warmth of you all in this community. The point is that this is a neat, unique area, strong and gifted, talented, active people, warm people, but that doesn't exclude us from attacks from the enemy. It doesn't exclude us. I mean, even considering all of those details, the devil still likes to make us sometimes feel like we're alone. Sometimes he likes to discourage us and confuse us and lead us to a feeling that we are truly alone. And then that slows our growth, especially as believers. It'll even stop our forward progression, especially in the spiritual journey that we call Christianity, or I like to say being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And so understanding those truths that I just explained, that reality of the attack of the enemy, I've begun this sermon series called Alone. And if you see the words, it says you are not, in real small print. So it's based on that idea of the TV show called Alone. It's been really cool how many of you have come up and said, man, I found Alone and I've been watching it. And some of you watched it for hours yesterday. You've gone through whole seasons. You see what I mean? It's an interesting show. It's a neat concept. And no, they're not naked. That's a different show. This show, they're very well clothed. In fact, with lots of warm layers and boots and things like that. So shame on you for even thinking about the other show. But the point is, I'm engaged in this sermon series because the truth is we are never, ever alone, that we have a God that is always with us. No matter the lies that the enemy may try to make you and I believe, that we are absolutely never alone and that we can do life together as a body of believers, but then also with a great and mighty God that truly loves us. So on that note, on the understanding of the sermon series and where we're at, I've got a little video clip that I want you to join in watching with me here this morning. You may find it entertaining. So go ahead and cue the video. who doesn't love a fainting goat? I mean, that's hysterical. I never get tired of watching those guys fall over. And it's amazing that how stiff-legged they are. And it takes them so long. Once their poor head starts waking up, their legs aren't coming along for the ride yet. That's hysterical. We laugh. It's hilarious. But the truth of the matter is that way too many of us sometimes act like a fainting goat. Way too many of God's children live in fear. And when you and I, born-again believers, live like that, live in fear, acting like one of these fainting goats, then Satan, he's the one that's laughing. He's the one that's rubbing his hands together and giggling because he has tricked and deceived you and I. God's word contains a message that's very, very different than the lies of our enemy, than the deceit that he tries to trick us into believing that it's true. So today we're going to be looking at the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to be in chapter 31, beginning in verse 1. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament. So if you go to the very beginning, you'll find Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then you'll find the book of Deuteronomy, and chapter 31 follows chapter 30. That's right. You guys are so good. In this portion of Scripture, the Israelites have been delivered from bondage in Egypt. All that happened there with the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea and the destroying of Pharaoh's army and all of that, all the firstborn being killed and the Passover and everything has happened. God has led the Israelites through his servant Moses out into the wilderness, and they have been wandering around, and that time frame is finally over. It's been 40 years. God has been with them in his presence. He has provided for his people. They are now at the banks of the Jordan River. They are ready to cross over into the promised land. Now, the promised land, the land of Canaan, is full of other nations, other people groups, not God's chosen people. And so God has spent a lot of time teaching the people not to integrate into those communities, but instead to go into the land and subdue it, to wipe out all those other nations, because God knew that those other nations would distract his people, and they would dilute his people, his nation that he had raised up to be his very presence out in the world. Now, Moses had sinned. He and Aaron had gotten frustrated with God's people for their rebellion, and Moses had struck the rock that God had simply commanded him to speak, and that the water would flow out, that God would bring forth water. And Moses, in his frustration, had whacked the rock with his stick, and water had came forth. And because of that, because of Moses' error, his sin, his lack of faith, and his anger with God's people, then Moses could not enter the promised land. In fact, the whole generation of all of the people that had not had faith enough, they had doubted, all those people had died off. It's the next generation that's coming forward and getting ready to go over into the promised land. So Moses was winding down, and Joshua was there to take over. God had raised up the son of Nun to lead the Israelites into this promised land, as Moses then would go off and die, and they would bury him in the hills. God would bury him actually where no one knows to this day where Moses was actually buried. So that's the point where we kind of pick up this morning at the near the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Lots and lots of events have happened, lots of ups and downs for the people, the Israelites. And again, this is Moses as he's winding down the very last couple of days with his people before Moses would go on and perish. So that's where we pick up this morning. So join me in your copy of God's Word or follow along on the screen. Again, in Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 1. The scripture says, "Then Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, saying, 'I am now 120 years old. I can no longer act as your leader. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will drive them out. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, as the Lord has said. The Lord will deal with them as he did Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them over to you, and you must do to them exactly as I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them, for the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you.' Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land the Lord swore to give to their fathers. You will enable them to take possession of it. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged.'" Let's pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before your very throne to praise and worship you. Father, I thank you just for the opportunity to be here in this place to praise and worship you. And Lord, I thank you for your word and for the message that you have laid on my heart. And Father, I plead with you that you would take your truth and your reality and you would speak it through me this morning boldly and clearly. I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds that we can see and know you, know who you are and what you've done, and then how it is that we can serve and honor you with our very lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the key things that you'll hear me talk about over and over as I preach is that we always have to take Scripture in context. It's very dangerous for any of us ever to read Scripture out of its original context. All of Scripture is breathed by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but written by human authors and often written to specific audiences, then to apply to their lives and their situation what was happening at that time in history, and then also for us to read, to know, to study, and to apply then to our lives today. So know that we always have to be careful to read God's Word in its context. Not every verse was specifically written to like apply to you today and your particular life situation. That said, God knows you inside and out. He loves you. He cares about you. And he speaks through his word, all of it, from the very beginning in Genesis to the very end in Revelation. God speaks through his word. So understanding that we have to always take Scripture in context, the understanding that the message that is contained still applies to all of us throughout all the ages. That's the value that is in God's Word. So maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, Pastor Kurt, I'm not fixing to invade any hostile lands. Maybe you're here today and we celebrated your birthday, but it's not your 120th birthday. At least I don't think that anybody in here is turning 120. You may feel like it. After skiing with Dave for a while, I felt like I was 120. Actually, I don't know how I would feel at 120, but I would imagine how I might feel at 120. But the point is, life still causes us to sometimes worry a little bit, maybe even to fear. Maybe sometimes the enemy has tricked you and I into feeling alone. We might not be taking over hostile land. We might not be 120 or knowing that our days are numbered down to the last couple, but life still causes us to fear, to struggle. The message contained in God's word is true now, today, and forevermore. And God's people, you and I, never, ever, ever need to live in fear. So the point to today's message is how it is that you and I can live a life that is bold and honoring to the Lord, never succumbing to Satan's lies, his deceit, feeling discouraged and feeling afraid. So the first thing that you and I have to know and understand from this passage of Scripture, and we're really just going to kind of focus on verse 6. But the thing that we have to know and understand is that we've been given a command by God. He commanded us. He commanded Joshua. He commanded the Israelites back then. And that same command still applies to us today. Look at verse 6 with me, the first two parts. Verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them." Now, if you read through your Bible, if you've done some Bible studies, you've been at this for some time, you realize the Old Testament is full of rules and regulations. It's full of do this and don't do that, Ten Commandments and lots of other commands, lots of rules and regulations spelled out in the Old Testament. And God's people throughout the ages, beginning with Adam and Eve, and I mean up to us today, have obeyed God, then disobeyed. We've trusted and then not trusted. We've said, "Here's my life, Lord, take and seal it. You know, do with me whatever you wish." And then we've said, "No, God, I take it back. I don't want to do that." We've wavered and changed our mind and gone back and forth, trusted and not trusted. God's people throughout the ages have failed at keeping God's word. And over and over and over, the Lord has promised us His presence would go with us. Back then, He was with them daily, continually, always, in a form of a cloud or fire, depending on day or night. God has over and over promised His very presence. He had provided for His people throughout the ages, given them food and their clothing didn't wear out. He'd gone with them. His very presence was with them continually over and over. God had gone with and provided and protected His people. And yet they still feared and doubted and lacked faith and didn't trust. They still struggled and felt alone, even abandoned by God, that they could see up on the mountain. They felt alone and afraid. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God is never, ever honored in that sort of an attitude. God is not praised and worshiped and lifted up and honored when His people are afraid. So here's the Israelites, God's chosen people, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're at the banks of the Jordan River. And by the way, it's blowing and going, it's flooded. I mean, this is a terrible time to try to cross this river and go over into the promised land. And that's exactly when God leads His people up to the river to trust in Him and Him alone. And so here they are, not a warring nation. They are not a bunch of army and military people, and they're going over into a land full of giants and armies and kings that have been fighting forever. And these people are extremely intimidated. They are overwhelmed, and they do not know how this is going to go. And over, God has said, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Don't ever be terrified or afraid of them." And He's reminded them of His very presence. You and I, the people back then and us today, we've been given a command to be strong and courageous in our lives as believers. Now, I know that's difficult. I know it's challenging. I looked up a list of some of the most common fears. And so I have here some of the most common fears, 13 of them, if you catch that, 13 fears. Some people are afraid of clowns. I don't get that. Ghosts. Darkness. People are afraid of that. Zombies. I don't know how many people, zombies are a fear. Strangers. You know, we teach our kids, just don't go up to strangers. It didn't work at all. They've never, ever met a stranger. You should see them at a campground. I mean, they know everybody in the campground. They're getting food and snacks and sitting in chairs. But anyway, claustrophobia. I mean, I very much get that one. I mean, who isn't afraid of small spaces and you're cramped and can't hardly breathe. I get, yeah. Flying, yeah, people are afraid of flying. Needles and blood, oh, gross, yeah. Everybody's afraid of needles and blood. Drowning or water, spiders, snakes, heights. People are afraid of that. The number one fear, you know what it is? Number one fear, public speaking. Public speaking. Some people would rather die than speak in public. And by the way, Dale said he was afraid of public speaking. He killed that announcement this morning. Great job. I'm looking forward to that missions conference. So I really hope we get a whole bunch of us to go and learn about missions, especially with the Iron Range Converge churches. So that's really, really cool. But anyway, the point is that we have, there's lists and lists of fears that we are sometimes afraid of. And what is fear? It's a lack of confidence. It's a lack of trust, a lack of faith. It's when we make our problems bigger than our God. That's when we fear. That's when we struggle. And so I guess as we sit here this morning, or as you sit here and listen, I guess I have to ask you then, what's your fear? Of course, don't answer out loud. Don't raise your hand. But as you walked in this morning, as you sit here today, what are you afraid of? What in life is holding you back? And by no means am I here to say that things like cancer and death and sickness and some of these real issues that we face aren't worthy of some fear and some consideration. But we have an incredible message that's contained here in God's Word. So what is it that you're afraid of? What's holding you back? Because sometimes you and I, we act like a goat. We act like one of those fainting goats. I mean, you may not look like a goat. I'm thankful that you don't smell like a goat. But sometimes we let fear paralyze us. Sometimes you and I let that enemy have a victory in our lives, and it paralyzes us and stops us from moving forward. Maybe there's confusion about who God is and His reality. Maybe there's some lack of confidence in your life about whatever, and it causes you to fear, causes you to stop moving forward and growing. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there's nothing that honors the Lord in that. When we make our issues, our struggles, and our fears bigger than our God, there's nothing that honors Him in that. When we act like a goat, over 360 times, over and over and over, God tells you and I, do not fear. We have been given a command, do not be afraid. Do not fear or be afraid or terrified of them. It's hard to live that way. I get it. I mean, some of us are concerned about lots and lots of things. It's difficult to live outside of fear. So how is it that you and I can do that? I mean, how is it that we can obey that clear command given by God over and over, not to fear, not to be afraid? Well, you and I can live that way because God has made a commitment. If you're taking notes, the second point, first one is we were given a command. The second is that God has given us a commitment. Look at the second part of, well, I'm just going to read all of verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you, and He will not leave you or abandon you. One of my all-time favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 12:9, and the Apostle Paul and Jesus are speaking, and Jesus, well, Paul says, and then He said to me, and then Jesus begins speaking, and He tells Paul and us that my grace is sufficient for you. And Jesus says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul takes over and begins to speak, and he says, therefore, I will brag about my weakness that the power of Christ can rest upon me. Let that sink in for a minute. I mean, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you because my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, over and over and over, God tells us not to fear, and you and I are never, ever told not to fear because of how strong we are. We are never told not to fear because of how talented or how great we are. We are simply told not to be afraid because of how great and strong He is. He has given us a commitment. Our strength and our confidence comes in, through, and from Him. Alone is scary. If you've been watching the show, you understand that these people, they go through such mental issues and struggles. When they're alone, it overwhelms them. Alone is scary. I am glad for you. I am glad that I don't have to go it alone. I don't have to go through this life alone. God has blessed me with an amazing wife and a wonderful family and an amazing, godly, strong church family. I'm glad for you. We can't do this alone. Alone is bad. Together is good. We need each other. We need our friends. I want you to think for a moment about your closest friend, the person that brings the most warmth into your life, the most strength into your life, whoever this may be, a spouse or a friend or someone from a long time ago. But I want you to think about that closest person in your life that you just instantly are encouraged by and warmed by their very presence. Think about being with them right now. Maybe you are. Maybe you're sitting here with that very person. Think about how you feel. Is it comforting and isn't that nice? Well, no matter how great and strong and warm and comforting that person is, our Father in heaven is so much better. So much more comforting, so much more reassuring, so much more confidence building. God is better. Some of you in here today, maybe you've been hurt in life. I understand the pain that loved ones can cause. I mean, maybe you've joined us this morning and you walked in brokenhearted and struggling because of a father figure in your life that has hurt you. I'm sure sorry for that pain. I'm sorry for the problems. Maybe a friend has hurt you to the point that it's really, really broken you and it's impacting your life today. Maybe you're here today and you've been abandoned by a loved one. I mean, hurt and frustrated, and now you have trouble trusting. Maybe you're here this morning and trusting and having faith in other people it seems to be more than you can do. Maybe you're here and you're living paralyzed, in fear, difficult to move forward. My God, my Father that's in heaven, He has made a commitment to His people thousands of years ago. But just as much, just as clear, just as true today as it ever has been, that He will be a better Father than any earthly father ever could be. That He will be a closer friend than anybody we can ever imagine here on this earth. Our God, my Father has made a commitment that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. You do not need to live in fear. You are never alone because He is the one that goes with you. And so now what do we do with that? You may be here and you know Scripture's true and you know that the words I'm speaking are true, but when you leave this place, the door hits you hard and suddenly you're back into the world. And so what does it look like on Monday morning when you go to work and people are rude and mean and far from the way we like to live and believe here in this place? How does it actually look out there in the real world? It's difficult, it's challenging. But what, as Rob said earlier, He has created us, God has created us to have a relationship with Him. It's all about a relationship with a risen Savior. To know God inside and out, to know Him the best we can in our human minds and our human bodies. It's to trust in Him. What God wants is for us to turn our lives over to Him, to turn from our sin and trust in Him and Him alone. God's word says that if you call upon the name of Jesus, you can be saved, changed, and made a brand new creation. It's about that relationship. It's not about a magical prayer. It's not about specific words. It's about the opening of your heart and asking Him to live inside, to overwhelm you with the presence of His Spirit, and then to go on through life, allowing Him to call the shots. That's what it means for Him to be Lord and Savior. He's the boss. He's the one that's in control. That's an hourly struggle, even a minute by minute, every decision struggle. My way or His way. And it's simply walking by faith, closing your eyes and trusting in Him to get you through that difficulty, to heal those wounds. It's not easy alone. That's why I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful to be a part of this family because it is so much easier together. So if you're here and you only come for Sunday morning, get involved. Get involved in a home group. We're getting ready to revamp and really, really revitalize the small groups and home groups and do life together. There's Bible studies for men and women on Tuesdays. There's opportunities to know and grow. Come and see me and talk about how it is. I'm personally meeting with multiple people and just loving on each other and growing together. It's encouraging for me. It's encouraging for them. The point is, Satan wants you to feel alone. He wants you to be discouraged and to not trust anybody. And God has a very radically different message for you and I. He says, never ever be afraid. Never ever be terrified because He's the one that goes with us. If we turn from our sin, trust in Him, by faith walk with the Lord, we can live in victory now, here, today, with the promise of glory forever. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, again, we come before you and thank you and praise you for your holiness and your utter perfection. And Father, I thank you that you have proven to us throughout the ages that you will absolutely never ever leave us or forsake us if we will simply allow you to lead our lives. So Father, I thank you for each one here today, and for those listening online, I thank you for each one, and I pray that your Spirit would invade each one of us, and that starting today, starting right now, we will live a more victorious life as we trust in you in ways that we never ever have before. Father, heal those pains, heal those past hurts. Open up a new level of faith for each one of us that you can be glorified in our lives, now and forevermore, in Jesus' name.